Okay, hello everybody. Welcome to the next session. We will be having some interesting talks, two from Planet and one from EOX. Each talk will have 20 minutes. Then you will have the chance to ask questions for 5 minutes. And yeah, I would suggest we can start now with René Griesbach and Holger Jeckel from Planet. Giving us an introduction on bridging the gap between the Planet Advanced EO imaging platform and the ESA environment.
Stage is yours.
So, yeah, good afternoon. Welcome here to this session. So my name is René. I'm working for Planet as a pre-sales engineer, and I'm very interested in giving you a deeper insight into the technical solutions we provide. And today we want to talk about the how we can bridge the gap between the advanced Planet data environment, which is actually really advanced, and the European Space Agency environment for our data. So just as a short introduction, what is Planet and the Planet constellation? So we are a data provider. We have three constellations of satellites in space. One is the old RapidEye constellation of currently 5 satellites. And then a big constellation of more than 120 satellites, the so-called Planet Scope constellation. It says 120 plus because it's constantly changing. So we are launching new satellites to complete the fleet of DAF satellites. Sometimes we're losing one or two satellites and have to replace them. That's why, so it needs to be updated always before any presentation. And beside of that, we have 15 SkySat satellites, which you may know from the Skybox site. So it's a very high resolution sensor with up to 70 centimeter resolution. So just as an explanation how the things work, I brought a little video animation. I can explain it better than I do, so I will be quiet for a while. So these systems are complementary to each other. So while the Planet DAF satellites are scanning the Earth from east to west using the Earth rotation, we use the Planet Sky, the SkySat satellites for pointed target, means targets of special interest, where we have need to have higher resolution to understand what's happened on the ground. So all of these data are offered as geospatial products in different levels of processing, up to surface reflectance, corrected data, and auto-rectified data products. So, but actually, we wanted to talk about the link between the ESA environment and the Planet plans, and we see a huge complementing factor in that one. So, if you see the Sentinel, or let's say the major Earth observation missions worldwide, the Sentinel and Landsat missions. So, and I put down how we see ourselves in that environment. Yeah, so you see we are constantly developing our satellite power, so there are new builds. So you see the build 13.8 is the current one, and we have a plan to have a 14th, a new model for that in place to provide the continuity on data supply. I will stop here on the details of the satellites because my colleague Robert will have a presentation later on and can give you a lot more information about that. So where do we see the benefits of the complementary use together with the Earth observation mission from the ESA in Europe? Of course, having a Sentinel satellite is a great thing for everybody. It's free data, it's really great data from quality and from the application point of view. But in some cases, the Sentinel cannot do the job, in some cases. And one of the examples for that is the monitoring of agricultural resources. It's a big topic in Europe at the moment, where the local or national paying agency want to check the compliance with good agricultural practices by satellite monitoring, really a wall-to-wall monitoring with satellite imagery. And for that, they want to switch from the spot checks to a monitoring approach. and plan to have a data collection all over Europe twice per week, so two images per week. And that's very ambitious, I would say, even for the Sentinel mission. And there are two gaps which cannot be fulfilled by the Sentinel satellite itself. One is if we have cloud on the second day or even in both imaging dates in a week, then the paying agency would not have no data. And the idea is to replace or substitute the Sentinel data with planet data. And in cases where the agriculture fields are very small and cannot be really assessed by a 10 by 10 meter Sentinel pixel, then also the assessment should be done by planet data. So, and that's a short example for a technical test which we showed. The system itself selects the right data over a period of time. You see that in the ground timeline and can provide some qualitative assessment results on a graphical screen. So another big example is the use for the Copernicus emergency mission. So there's a Copernicus emergency mapping service in place, which of course has a need in any data which is available. If something happens somewhere in the world, so then somebody needs the data. And we reached an early agreement with ESA that our data can be used for these emergency cases in the way as it is. And the way as it is the planet format, so it's not really compatible to the requirements from the European Space Agency. But nevertheless, at the same time, we understand that for the complementary supply of data, we need to have an equally powerful environment as ESA has. So what is available on planet side? So we also have a really powerful image platform, which consists of several input imagery. So PlanetScope, RapidEye, SkySat, as I mentioned, plus the Landsat and Sentinel images. There are processing engines involved, storages, and even a container for analytical applications. But what it misses is the output end. So our data are in first place not Inspire conform yet. So we provide other data packages than ESA would require for their environment, including some reports. And we need to bridge the API solutions between two of them. And another thing is that ESA requires a physical storage of the data in their environment, yeah, which is actually contradicting the platform approach. And with that, I hand over to Holger. Holger is our colleague from the GAF AG in Germany, and GAF helps us in implementing this interface between Planet and the ESA environment.
Okay, thank you. Okay. This adapter system that we built together with Planet for bridging this gap between the ESA requirements for their interface and the Planet API that's already there. We built that for three scenarios that are defined by ESA. That's the first scenario. The scenario six is the emergency rest satellite tasking scenario, where a tasking request comes from ESA and is processed by the satellite data provider. And the scenario seven is a crisis monitoring, where this is in continuously process. So when an emergency like a flood is lasting for a longer time, for several weeks, for example, then this is then they issue a monitoring scenario. And the scenario eight is the retrieval from archive. And for that scenario, I want to give you an example how the workflow between the ESA interface, the adapter system that we built together with Planet, and the Planet API, how this works. So in this scenario eight, ordering from archive, there is one option, ordering via email. So the ESA writes an email, in that case to the Planet customer support, where they specify, so this is not a free email, this is an structured email where the ESA defines what scenes they want to have. This email cannot be automatically processed, so the Planet customer support has to read this email and do an input into our input module of the adapter system here in the middle. The input module then forwards this request as an order to our order and tasking management component, which is a central component in our adapter system. And this order and tasking management then creates an order using the Planet Orders V2 API. Then when you provide an order there for the Planet Orders V2 API, you get returned an order ID, and that is stored in the database. And that is the first step in the ordering process. There is an alternative workflow for this step, which we will implement in phase two of this project, which is not ordering by email, but ordering via an automated interface, an HMA interface. Yeah, that's basically the same. This then there is an interface that's defined by ESA and provided also by our adapter system that will basically create the same add order for scenario 8 request that the input module would create. So when we have submitted the order to the Planet API, the Planet API will deliver those archive products. They will deliver this product, in our case, to a Google bucket, to a storage bucket, which then will issue a notification to our adapter system again, to the order and tasking management. And now, with this product that comes from the Planet API, we have to build a Copernicus product package. So we have to create a folder structure, download the product from the Google bucket, and then create two files. The first file is the Inspire metadata XML file that will be created by our reporting module. The second file that has to be added is a circulation report. And those both files are created by the reporting module, then added to this folder structure, and then created a tar file that's, in the end, the Copernicus product package. And in the last step of this process, then this CPP, this Copernicus product package, has to be disseminated. That means it has to be uploaded to another storage bucket that's also published as an FTP server. And the Copernicus service provider is who wants to have those images is then notified by email and can then download those CPPs by FTP, for example. For the ESA, a delivery report is created, and the file is also uploaded to the ESA FTP server. ESA is notified by email, and then the process is basically finished, and we can update the status in the database that this product is now delivered to ESA. Okay.
Thank you, Holger. So just as a conclusion to that one, just wrapping up the presentation. So we have data which are or need to be complemented to the ESA Copernicus Earth observation missions. And we need to have a connection between the environments to powerful data supply. We identified the gaps between them and working on a solution. And some of the necessary interfaces are available soon. So we think about a month's time or 2 months time frame. But already today, ESA agreed to include Planet and SkySat data in the third-party mission program. The new name is EarthNet for that. And I invite you as developers and so on to send in your applications for data supply, and I leave the link to the site for ESA here. And with that, I want to thank you for your attention and ask for a question. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much for this interesting talk. It's great to see the public and the private sector working together to produce great products. A question from my side, what are the requirements in order to get a data set from the ESA third-party missions on your side?
So the ESA third-party mission program, or a new name, EarthNet, is a data supply program where ESA pays for the data you are requiring. What you need is to go to this website and hand in a formal application that describes a bit your need for data, why you need data, what's the purpose, what do you want to develop, and so on. ESA then decides about the amount of data they can assign to you. And with that assignment, we get a parallel email for that one. We can supply you in that frame with data. You can even select the data yourself. We just give you access to the planet environment and set the download quote to the one which ESA give, and you are free to choose the data wherever you want.
Okay, thanks. Any questions from the audience? Ah, okay.
So for scientific purposes, it would be this EarthNet program that's a support for scientific usage, but ESA also provides data for commercial purposes. That would be the data warehouse, Project Copernicus data warehouse supply. And as soon as the adapter system interface will be available, planet data can also be purchased via the ESA thing. I don't know really about the procedure behind that, but it will be handled as any other data source in the Copernicus frame.
Okay, I think we got a question here as well.
It was almost the same. You mentioned the data is available for the Copernicus Emergency Management Service, but
not
the security service.
So, yes, we offered the same thing for the security. Yeah, so the question was if data can be supplied already now for the CEMS, for the emergency mapping service, what about the security services in the Copernicus program? So we offered the same for the security program and Frontex and the SAT Center are the typical customers for that. They have access to the data and they got the right to download this, but unfortunately they did not use it. So it was free to them to choose, but so far they did not do so.
Okay, over there, there was something. Peter, no question? Okay,
I missed it.
Any more questions? Okay, then thank you very much for the talk.
Thank you.